Amen. Let's continue to stand and worship the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Oh, thank you, God.
I have called you to be holy, for I am holy. You cannot have the power without the holiness, without the separation, without setting yourself apart for me, dedicating yourself to me. I'm calling you tonight to holiness. I will send power. I will send deliverance. I will send answers. I will send miracles. If you will just extend yourself, lay yourself out to me, separate yourself to me, and be holy. I am your holy God, and I love you tonight.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, praise the name of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. What an electrifying presence. Oh, God. Oh, God. My Jesus. My Jesus. I'm all set to preach, but I'm also prepared to do whatever God wants in this service tonight. If God wants to do something without me preaching, that's all right with me. Okay. Reach out to him right now. Would you do that? Just reach out to him right now. Oh, God. I love you. Jesus, with all my heart, God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. With the presence of God here the way it is, regardless of what need you have, why don't you reach out to the Lord right now? Just reach out. God can heal you right now. God can deliver you right now. God can fill you with the baptism of the Holy Ghost right now. Let him have his way. I said, let him have his way. God, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God, I love you, God. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus, my Jesus. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Why don't you go ahead and be seated, and I'm going to, I may have to change my notes somewhat, but I do want to talk to you. We have another service going on, our hyphen service, and we have someone that wants to be baptized right after service. We're just so thrilled to feel the presence of God the way we do. And we're so privileged to do this. It's not rare that churches feel what we feel almost every week, but there are many churches that don't have the passion to evangelize. And when you lose your passion to evangelize, if you go into churches that are not seeing people saved, they don't experience what we are experiencing here. There is a close parallel or correlation between the passion we have to reach the lost and the way we worship God. I notice little children. Have you ever seen a child jump in a little pedal car and his or her feet were too, legs were too short to reach the pedals? The first thing they do, they get a hold of the steering wheel and they just crank it to the right and to the left and right and left and right and left. And they're going nowhere because their feet, legs serve as the power. So they're just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I remember as a young teenager, too young to get my driver's license, used to sit in my dad's pickup truck and pretend I was driving. It's a big, big time, you know, when you get your driver's license. Now, I was a young teenager. I got my driver's license when I was 14. So I wasn't very old then. But just steer it back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now, with the power steering, when you turn the key off, you've got a job turning the steering wheel, and it's not easy. And what I want to talk with you about tonight, the subject is, why steer a parked car? What's the whole point? People are praying, God, have your way in my life. I'll do whatever you want me to do. Singing courses, I'll say what you want me to say. But if you're going nowhere, then why do you need that to happen? Someone wrote a song, and the song was about Jesus at the steering wheel. But even when Jesus is at the steering wheel, if he's in a vehicle, which would be our human faculties, our human body, if he's at the wheel, where's he going to go? Because you see, he has commissioned the gospel into the hands of men. What an awesome task of reaching our world. I just read a scripture out of Matthew 24, verse 14, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. People have been predicting the end of our dispensation for many years now, dating all the way back to the 1982. A lot of people thought the Lord was coming in 1982. Someone even wrote the book, I think it was 1988, 88 Reasons Why the Lord's Coming in 88. Well, he hasn't appeared for his second advent to the world like some people have thought he would. Now, we are seeing the signs of Matthew 24 being fulfilled. And Jesus said, now all these are the beginning of sorrows. Nations shall rise against nation. Do you realize how volatile the situation is in the Middle East? It's about really to explode. And it just seems like it's something that we just walk a tightrope almost to try to keep peace over there. And kingdom shall rise against kingdom. There shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. We had earlier this year an earthquake centered right under the church up in Clintonville, Wisconsin. They felt tremors there for days. And they felt it first when they were praying, and they thought it was strange. They didn't know weren't for sure what it was, and of course they contacted the authorities, and they began to look at it, and nobody knew what was taking place. And they thought because there's a drought in that area, perhaps that there wasn't enough moisture, and perhaps something was happening, they weren't for sure. And later on, though, they did, out of Green Bay, they did declare that this was a series of small tremors or earthquakes. Had an earthquake in central Illinois, also one up in Maine. When it says divers places, that means strange places, places where you don't normally have earthquakes. The Bible says that men shall hate one another, shall betray one another. You know, you look at the news every day. Somebody just grabs a gun and goes out and just at random begins to shoot people because they're so full of hatred. No regard for human lives, for the sanctity of life. False prophets are rising. The love of many shall wax cold. But Jesus said, he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. And yet at the same time, we are commissioned of the Lord to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The word gospel actually comes from two words, God and spell. God's spell. G-O-S-P-E-L. And I like it because it's got the word go in it. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. For some reason, after churches have experienced success for about 10 years and they've grown, the average church never gets any bigger. That's it. Because they take the go out of the gospel. May still preach, may still teach, and they may still talk about the Great Commission, but the Great Commission is not the great suggestion. Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus, this is Mark's version of the Great Commission. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go ye. Go ye. This is why that I'm so passionate about taking large offerings for missionaries especially. Last year we had one of the best Christmas for Christ offerings we've had. We were like 15th in the nation. I think it was around $15,000. And I had approached you right after the first of the year, and I had challenged you, let's give bigger offerings, especially those that go out from our assembly. Let's give bigger offerings than we've ever given before. Had such a record Cheese for Christ offering, Christmas for Christ offering, Mother's Memorial. Our missions given, we were number 17th in the nation and foreign missions given with $117,000. I had Brother Lehman lined up in the month of March to come back and do another Faith Promise service. I know that we're trying to pay our building off because in time we're going to need a larger auditorium. Now, we have presently worked a situation where we have multiple services, like we have a service going on right now. Wednesday night we have a service going. We have a service going on Tuesday night, sometimes two of them, one at campus and one here. We have three outreach services going on Tuesday night. One in the Allied Drive area, one on the west side, and one up in Poinette. But prison services going. Per week we have two or three prison services going. Tuesday night we have VOSIS. Of course, I mentioned Wednesday. And then Sunday night we have our hyphen service, this service, and then I think the African immigrants are wanting to start a Sunday night service that will take place at the same time that we're having hyphen in this service. It'll be in the kids' rages. No, I'm sorry. That's not right. They want it the same time that VOSIS is having their service, 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So with the multiple services, we don't need an auditorium at this time. But, you know, when we baptize tonight, this will be 235 or 236 people. This year, our goal was 250. And since the turn of the century, we will end up, if we continue to go and we reach a 250, we'll have over 3,500 people baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, we constantly purge our database of people that we've lost track of. And we recently did that, but still, after purging the database, which when you receive a one call, we call everybody that's on the database. Would you believe right now we have 3,400 and something names? Let me say, where are all the people? We're so scattered around that one of the biggest challenges is to keep us focused. And this is the reason why that it's extremely necessary that we have our meetings coming up on Wednesday night in the month of December that Pastor Roy had talked to you about. But Mark's version said, go ye. Matthew's version in Matthew, and this is when we say the Great Commission, we're talking about the very last message that Jesus preached, and he commissioned us. Matthew's version in Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations. Go ye. In other words, don't wait till the nations come to you. You go to them. Now, we have our hyphen service going on, and Mark and Christina over there, but they have done such a remarkable job in organizing outreach for our assembly. And many of you are involved in it. And this is something we want to continue. We're going to push even more and more and more and more. And Luke's version of this, found in chapter 24, verse 47, he talks about preach his name among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem, even though the word go ye is not mentioned there. Still, the inference is there. Acts 1 and 8, ye shall be witnesses. This is part of the same message. It's found in Mark 16. It's found in Matthew 19. It's found in Luke 24, Acts 1. Ye shall be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And what we're trying to do, we're trying to create for the church what I call a 2020 vision. 2020 vision. Now, my vision is not that good. I can see people on the back, but I need to get my eyes checked again because I have a little bit of a problem. Sometimes even reading up here, probably detected that. When I turn 40, really, that's what happened. Everybody's saying, when you turn 40, well, I'm 38, I'm doing okay. 39, I get where I can hardly read my Bible, and I think there's something wrong. And when I turn 40, I go in, and the first thing they do is check my eyes. They said, you not only need glasses, you need bifocals. But see, the 2020 vision of the church, if you put Acts 2020 up, let's just take a look at this. I did not turn this in. The 2020 vision of the church is, and this is talking, Paul is talking here about how he approached the situation and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. In other words, we were talking about tonight. We saw it on the Christmas for Christ, how this brother just said, we just pulled all stops out. So whatever you want, God, do. You know, God very rarely ever does some great thing among the human race without using some other human being. And if God wants to do something great in your life, something he's never done before, you may have to experience some activity or some change in order to see that occur. Because if you keep doing what you've always done, you'll probably get what you've always gotten. So Paul says, I just pulled out all stops. But this is what he said, I have shewed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. You know, every now and then you'll find someone will get this idea that to have public services is not the right thing. We just need to go house to house. Well, I disagree with that. I realize the economy was a little different in the Bible than what we have now, and large buildings like this were not easy to come by. So they did a lot of house to house, and that's great, and that's what we're doing, teaching on Bible studies, teaching people in their houses, teaching people in various recreational rooms in some of the projects here in town, but also publicly. Paul talks about the gift of tongues and interpretation, which we had tonight. He said, when you all get together. So the writer of the book of Hebrews says, forsake not to assemble yourselves together, as a matter of some is. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, I'm just speaking for myself, okay? If we have members from other churches that you've cut back on the number of church services that you have, I don't mean to reflect against you or your church or your pastor, but as far as I am concerned, somebody asked me, are you considering not having a Sunday night service? You know, nobody has them anymore. Don't say nobody has them, because we still have one. And guess what? I don't plan on cutting it out. I mean, if the Bible says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, you may choose not to come to as many services as we have, and certainly I don't go to all the services, 8 or 10 services we have during the course of the week. I don't go to all those. I couldn't do that, and I don't expect anybody else to do that. But I do know that the services that I attend, I not only feel that you need them, I need them also. I need to hear from God. That message tonight was for me. I said that message tonight was for me. And I received a lot of encouragement from that. So let's not take the go out of the gospel. You know, we got Lenny and Kathy Smith down in Antigua along with Benjamin and Victoria. We got Liana in Poland. We have the O'Malley's in Lafayette. And we've started churches here in our area, the church up in Beaver Dam. Brother Manley, he did not go directly to Watertown from Madison because he'd been up in Appleton, but when he started the church there, he chose to become a member of our church, and he did our Sunday night choir, and we have a church there. And I think we're going to have many, many more churches before the Lord comes back. But when we do, it'll be because that we preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. If you'll turn to that. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Now notice verse 2. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. It's no time to compromise. It's no time to preach a watered down, socially accepted gospel. No time for that. You know, I told someone, well, someone asked me, he said, Brother Grant said, you're a pretty conservative man. How can you have growth and be conservative? I said, well, It depends on your philosophy. See, my philosophy is that I'm trying to get a blood-washed church together to present to Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to get a gang together. The whole goal of this is not to see how many people you can get together, but see how many people you can convert and continue to preach the real, unadulterated gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole point. And if people, the Bible says we're saved by the gospel. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 and 2. And moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand. Verse 2, by which also ye are saved. We're saved by the gospel. If you keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Let's go ahead and read verse 3. 4 and 5. Okay, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 3. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received. In other words, Paul is saying, I received the gospel. Now, he didn't say, I accepted the gospel. He didn't say, I heard the gospel. You know, and as much as I believe that faith is an important part of your acceptance of Jesus Christ, you can't just say that because you have a mental image that Jesus Christ died for your sins that you're saved. That's not what constitutes salvation. So what he's talking about, the gospel. He said, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried and that he arose the third day according to the scripture. Now, what he's saying is that the gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord. Jesus Christ died, he was buried, and he arose. He says, now I received that. That wasn't meant to be put in scripture just for someone to have something to preach on Easter Sunday. But it was put in scripture so that it can be applied to your life because you are saved by that gospel. How are you saved by that gospel? In that Christ died, you have the privilege, and I use the word privilege, of bringing your dirty, sinful heart to God and opening it up and letting Jesus Christ cleanse it with his blood. That's repentance. Repentance is the turning around. It's the walking away from sin. And what goes on sometimes in so-called Christians' lives, it's a dishonor to God for people to think that they can be thinking any way they want to think and talking any way they want to talk and then go to church and sing the songs of Zion and be okay in the sight of God. It was mentioned tonight about holiness. I just preached on holiness last Sunday morning. Follow peace with all men in holiness, which without no man shall see the Lord. We are to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So you have the privilege of repenting of your sins because Jesus Christ died. See, Paul says our sins were nailed to his cross. But you also have the privilege then of identifying yourself with his burial when you are baptized in water by immersion in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're buried with him in baptism. Baptism is both a burial and a birth. By that I mean an old man goes down and a new man comes up. See, in repentance, our sins are killed. In baptism, they are remitted or they're buried. So someone fell of a heart attack and died on the spot, we wouldn't say, well, that person is remitted or that person is done away with. No, we have to take and bury that person. See, that's how we dispose of the body. And of course, unless you're cremated, and that does the same thing. But a new man comes up. And when we're filled with the gift of the Holy Ghost, the gift of the Holy Ghost is the experiencing of the resurrecting power of Jesus Christ. Got the resurrecting power. The Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead dwells in my mortal body. So when I stand behind this pulpit to preach, I preach not of myself, but of Jesus Christ. For my old man has been crucified with him. What happens, however, is that so often, you know, we've been in the way for so long that we get in the way. How long you been in the way? I've heard people say that. The old timers used to say that all the time. Oh, I've been in the way 35 years. But sometimes you can be in the way and then get in the way. So when they ask you how long you've been in the way, you've been in the way. In other words, when you fail to preach the gospel, you are refusing to save a soul from hell. Now you think about what I'm saying. I said you are refusing to save a soul from hell. Huh. This is why Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:16, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. He also said, wherefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, we command all men to repent. In other words, we do everything that we can. But you know, the thing about it is, Christianity has become so watered down that even when we talk about the judgments of God, we got to be so mushy about it all. Listen, there's nothing mushy about a Katrina that comes in. There's nothing mushy about an earthquake in Haiti. There's nothing mushy about a Sandy that blows houses away and burns houses. There's nothing mushy about it. You may say, you believe that the judgments of God had anything to do with that? Well, I don't think it was the blessings of God. See, but the problem is that none of us, we're all afraid to say anything about that. Like, oh no, that was just an act of nature. Go read your insurance policy. You know what the insurance policy said? It calls that an act of God. It does. Most all insurance, that's what they say. In other words, they don't say an act of nature. They say an act of God. So you are covered because of flooding or you're not covered. So his death, his burial, and his resurrection saves people from hell. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. So what he's saying is that when you preach to someone and you see them saved, you're not only saving them, but you're saving yourself. And the inference is, if you don't preach it to someone to save them, then there's no guarantee that you're going to be saved. Because the Great Commission was not a great suggestion. Someone can be lost because you fail to tell them about Jesus Christ. And I know there has to be a starting point for everyone, and I've told people this before. I want you to hear it again. If you feel that you can't really witness the way you need to witness, just invite them to come to church. And I trust you when they get here, that our pastoral staff, me leading the way, will do everything that we can to team up with you to see that they come to the altar and they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We'll team up with you. But God wants you to become involved in someone else's life. Why steer a parked car? You know, the amazing thing about it is that Paul, and you know, Paul is just my hero. I tell you, he challenges me more than anyone in the Scripture outside of Jesus Christ. When Paul and Silas in Acts 16, and you just listen to the story, I want you to take it and read it later. They were going to Asia. They knew that they need to go to Asia. Now, I've heard people say, as soon as I get the green light, this is what I'm going to do. You've heard people say that, haven't you? As soon as I get the green light. Paul never waited for a green light. He just went. He wasn't, and he was going to Asia, and the Lord stopped him with a red light. While we're waiting for a green light to get started, here's a man that's going regardless of what color the light is until it turns red. God stopped him and said, I don't want you to go into Asia. He tried two or three times. There was a red light. Says, no, you're not going to Asia. And that's when Paul then, while he was in deep prayer and contrition, that he saw a man crying in the streets of Macedonia. If you read the epistles, Paul talks about the saints in Macedonia. And this man was crying, said, come over and help me. Come help me. Come help me. I need your help. So he wasn't sitting around waiting for a green light. He was going to Asia until God put a red light up. And I think that the attitude should be of all of you is, I'm not going to wait for a green light. I'm just going to go because the green light's in the Bible. It's already here. It's go, 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 go. You take the go out of the gospel. You don't have the gospel then that's being preached. I love this scripture in Mark 16:20. They went everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. They went everywhere. Let's say it together, everywhere. Everybody you see that hasn't been baptized in Jesus' name and filled with the Holy Ghost deserves to hear the gospel message. Now, I'm not saying that if you go into a bank to make a withdrawal that you need to hold up a big line and say, look, you're going to listen to me. And sometimes that apostolics can become so zealous that they exercise no wisdom, and so as a result, I've had people say, well, if I don't witness to them today, they may not ever get a witness. But the way you're going about it is, if you witness now, you got to keep in mind they probably won't ever listen to anybody else. So I'm not saying go into a restaurant and stand on the tables and preach the gospel. I'm not saying it at all. But you can let your light shine. You can be nice to people. Could I tell you that you can be extremely anointed and still be nice? And some people think because they get red in the face and can scream at someone about the gospel that they're anointed. Oh, no, my friend. No, we have to be Christ-like. But on the other hand, there are more people that are just sitting on the premises instead of standing on the promises. And that's what we need. Some churches just having services. Never see anyone saved. I think Brother Thomas said he went someplace. I don't know how many years they'd gone. Nobody had been baptized. Had dust in the bottom of the baptismal tank. So we're going to baptize someone this week. Said, well, we better get somebody to vacuum out the baptismal tank, clean it out, and put some water in it. Now, I got to tell you. You know, I've been pastoring now almost 50 years. I cannot envision getting in such a spiritual rut that I would keep the baptismal tank empty. I want to keep it full. And every time somebody walks through the door, I'm going to say, oh, maybe there's a candidate. There's somebody that needs the Holy Ghost. Oh, there's somebody that needs a touch. Yes. Hey, this is real life we're living. It's real heart beating, pulsating life that we're living. And we won't walk down these roads anymore. One time and one time only. And I hope when I go into the presence of God that I won't be empty-handed. Never winning anyone. Just sitting in the car, turning the steering wheel. Good as that. Why steer a parked car? And I get emails all the time. I just got an email this week. Last week in El Salvador, they had their general conference. Over 20,000 people in attendance. 2,200 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Isn't that something? Mexico City, with over 10,000 people, 450 people in one night received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Last month, in the month of October, in the country of Ghana, Africa, 842 people received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. In Kenya, 215. Liberia, 38. Madagascar, 78. Uganda, 87. You know, the Lord told us in Luke 14, he gave us a parable of the Great Supper. He said, go out and invite these people. Of course, he invited some and they made excuses. I recently preached a message about excuses. One was, bought a piece of ground. That represents the real estate, your home. Another, I married a wife. Represents your family. Other, I bought some oxen. Represents your job. You don't know the people I talk to that says, I invite them to church and try my best to witness to them. They said, oh, but I can't. I'm too busy. What are you busy doing? Working? You mean to tell me that you're going to become so busy that you can't even go to church? Well, that's the way it is. I have to make a living, you know, for this family. So job and family. Well, you have to understand, you know, I got this house, and when I got to mow the lawn, and I got to keep the place up, and so your home, your job, and your family. And because that the people use these for an excuse, the Lord says that he was very angry at those people. One thing is to have the Lord not pleased with you, but another thing is to have him mad at you. Oh, my. My, my. Do you want God mad at you? Well, I've had people say, I got mad at God. Oh. You poor little thing. What are you going to do about it? Tell me what you're going to do about it. You're going to get out on the hillside someplace where nobody's looking and say, come on down, God. I'm going to fist fight you. What are you going to do about that? I got to tell you, you know, that's about as dumb can be. Just mad at God. Who do you think you are anyway? All that God would have to do to scare the daylights out of you, just say, boom. What do you think would happen if God did that? Your water would break even if you weren't pregnant. Oh, my. I gotta take a drink of water. There is a God. He created us. He redeemed us. He saved us. His blood washed me clean. There's not a day that goes by that I don't thank the Lord for all that he's done for me. I want to be like Jesus. The Bible says in the book of Acts, the 16th chapter, and we'll not go to that scripture, but I'll just quote this. Peter was preaching, and this is what he said. He says that Jesus Christ of Nazareth went around about doing good. In other words, every place he went, he was doing good. Some Christians go about, that's it. Some people's Christians go about not doing so good, and that's it. And some people don't go at all. They just sit up in the car. Oh, Lord, I need a green light. Give me your will, Lord Jesus. And you're going no place. You're steering. Why do you want to steer a parked car? Why do you want to sing all these songs about being led by the Spirit and doing what God wants you to do when you made up your mind? You know, you're going to be just like the, well, let's say this. You know, Romans 8 verse 14 says that as many that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, the problem with Jonah is that he got his vehicle in reverse when God called him. He ran. Went all the way back to Joppa, went down by the seashore, bought a ticket, and then he went down to the boat, and then he went down into the boat in the bottom. And then when the storm came up, they tossed him out, and he went down in the sea. A whale swallowed him, and he went down in the whale. The thing about it is, when you get things in reverse and you run from God, it's down, 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 all the way. And he stayed down. The story of Jonah would have been very different if he had not repented in the belly of the whale. And when you repent, then things get looking better. That old whale got sick to his stomach, came up close to the shore, and up he came. And guess what? Boy, he put his vehicle in the right direction. I'm going to Nineveh. And the greatest Gentile revival in the Old Testament took place in the city of Nineveh when Jonah went there and preached repentance to the people. We need to make a cry to this world that Jesus Christ is soon to return. We need to make a cry to this world that this world is going to be lost if they don't give their heart to God. Preach against sin. Stand against sin. Like we've never stood against sin before. Keep our lives clean. Keep our lives pure. You see, when God chooses to destroy a society, he always sprinkles judgment upon them. And before he rains judgment upon people, he first visits the heart of his people to make sure that they're clean. The true context of the scripture that Peter was talking about when he says that judgment must begin at the house of God. So if he's going to destroy Madison, he's going to first talk to me, he's going to talk to you, he's going to talk to everybody. So we clean up our heart and we get our lives, and because he's going to compare the human race with the righteous. So he's going to deal with me, he's going to deal with you. Because if he doesn't, then there's not going to be anyone he can point the people to when judgment falls. But I must keep my heart clean. And Peter goes on to say, for the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Got to keep my life right with God. Oh. Paul was led by the Spirit. He went to Macedonia. The Pharisees, though, they had this predetermined route. that predetermined route was like train tracks. I'll go if I don't have to leave this particular track. That's the way it is with some people. You have already determined what you will do and what you won't do for Jesus. But let me tell you something. You just go down that same old track of boredom. You're not willing to take a sidetrack for a new adventure. Now, I want you to stand at this time, and I have some more scriptures, but I'm just really feeling it. Are you just sitting, or are you getting the job done? Are you just coming to church, or are you really thankful for the ministry that God's placed in your hand? I feel right now in the spirit that I need to give an altar call. If you're unhappy with your progress or lack thereof, why don't you just step out and come on down to the front? Come on down to the front. Now, this is not intended to embarrass anyone. I think the Holy Spirit's challenging everyone. Why don't you just step out and come on down? Come on down now. Oh, God. God bless these.